And the angel being come unto her, said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And later, because no word shall be impossible with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This past Friday, we celebrated the feast of one of the most popular saints on the Catholic liturgical cycle, St. Francis of Assisi. There's a true story, an event that took place in his life, that once he was praying in a chapel in Italy. The chapel was called San Damiano, or St. Damian. And he heard God speak to him through the crucifix. As often happened to saints, St. Thomas Aquinas, the same thing happened to him, where the crucifix spoke to him miraculously. For God can do all things, as it says in the Gospel. No word is impossible with God. And the crucifix told Francis, go and rebuild my church, which you can see has fallen into ruin. Well, Francis's first thought was that he should repair the material structure of that church in San Damiano. It was falling apart a little bit. And so he literally went out and did that with the different people that were with him, the monks and the brothers, and they began repairing the church. But later on, it was revealed to him that, well, this isn't what God intended at all. He intended him to found an order, Franciscan order, and to do much good for the salvation of souls in the church. For many souls had grown cold and had grown less fervent than they should be. And he was to, by his piety, by his preaching and example, he was to fix the ruined souls that were in the church. Well, today, we see another Francis, the opposite of Saint Francis. He's an antipope, Francis the First, saying, not rebuild my church and save souls, but rather, I will strip the church of Christ. And since Vatican II, this is precisely what has happened. The true church has been stripped of her glorious cathedrals and monasteries, her shrines. The people who simply want to belong to the true faith have been stripped of their faith and their valid sacraments, which were instituted by our Lord to give grace to their souls. So they have also been stripped of the graces needed for salvation. And Francis has also stripped the papacy of its authority and of its many titles, so that he no longer wants to be called Pope, but simply Bishop of Rome, because any other title that the Pope has stands in the way of ecumenism and all of the rest. Heresy is rampant, moral decadence among the people is swiftly spreading. Where once birth control and abortion were condemned and even punishable by excommunication, now Catholics are permitted to follow their own conscience with regard to that. Forget any objective law of God. It's all right here. Follow your heart. That is the Vatican II Church. And then, of course, homosexuality, which was once condemned by God's law, even the natural law of Almighty God. Now Francis will say, who am I to judge? And actually did say that when asked about that awful crime and sin. He must have forgotten, by the way, the scripture story of Sodom and Gomorrah and how much God was displeased by all that went on there. But now he can just say, who am I to judge? And all the rest. This is Vatican II. Now atheists will be rewarded with eternal paradise by a God whom they never accepted, whom they refused to believe in. Well, now they can be rewarded by this God. Francis has also said that there is no Catholic God. So what does that mean? The Jewish God? The Muslim God? Which one does he worship? For the Muslims, Christ is only a prophet. For the Jews, Christ is not God at all. So which God does he follow, if not the Catholic God? For our Lord himself is a Catholic. Why? Because he founded the Catholic Church, outside of which there is no salvation. And he says too, just to give you some updates on what he says that the most serious evils that afflict the world today are youth unemployment and loneliness of the old. And he continues, still quoting him, "This is the most urgent problem the church is facing today." What does he think about the salvation of souls? So many souls being lost, no longer observing the natural law, and all of the rest. The most serious problems in the world today are that the old people are lonely and that the young people have no jobs. What a terrible thing for someone who purports himself to be the pontiff to say he is the vicar of Christ on earth, or is supposed to be, and yet cares very little about the salvation of souls. And to confirm this, he says in another interview, "Proselytism is nonsense." And to that atheist that he had an interview with, he said, "Well, I have no intention of converting this atheist. No intention of revealing to him the presence of a God in heaven. He's supposed to be the Pope, at least in the eyes of the world." Then he continues somewhere else, "Each of us has a vision of good and evil. We have to encourage people to move towards what they think is good." There again, we have it. There is no objective law of God in Vatican II. It's all found here, what we feel, what we think is right and good. That is what Vatican II has done. And on top of it, the first commandment of worshiping only one God and no other, and of practicing only the true religion, well, even that, by Francis and all the other Vatican II popes, has been violated. There's a picture that I just saw a couple of days ago of Francis I in yarmulke and everything, up there with the Jews, lighting a menorah in their ceremonies. That religion does not even believe in our Lord's divinity. And there he is practicing it. So as you can see, whereas St. Francis wanted to rebuild the church, anti-Pope Francis wants to tear it down and completely begin a new religion. Well, many of you might think that I'm painting a very dark picture. Well, you're right. It is a very dark picture. But it's all truth. It is the reality. It is a very dark situation. And yet what I have said today is nowhere near the extent of it all. All the harm that has been done to souls. Think of your own relatives. How many there are who simply want to be Catholic and yet no longer believe as Catholics are supposed to believe. There's a story I came across about a man in Detroit. I don't know the man, but he was very much into the Novus Ordo religion, simply a Catholic in good faith, but was very much involved in church functions, and he was on the lay council and everything else. He ended up, because of Vatican II, leaving the church and saying to his friend, "Well, we can't even be certain that there's a God anymore." And so, for that reason, he left. This is what Vatican II has done. It has put so much doubt into people's minds concerning the true faith that now you can't be certain. The modernists will say one thing and then another and confuse people, so that how can you even be sure anymore after listening to the modernists that there is a true God? This is Vatican II. And while we find this situation hopeless, humanly speaking, we must remind ourselves that as the gospel says, nothing is impossible with God. God has given us the means to defeat this crisis in the church today. There's first of all the Mass and the Divine Office. Those are the two most powerful forms of prayer that God has given us. And the third is the Holy Rosary. You'll notice, if you know your church history, that whenever there was a threat to the Catholic Church, the popes always pulled their rosary out of their pockets and told the people to pray the same devotion of the rosary. There's an antiphon in the Hour of Matins of the Church that tells us everything. It says, "Rejoice, Virgin Mary, for thou alone hast overcome all heresies in the world." And this is a beautiful thought for our own day. So while the Albigensians in the time of St. Dominic were spreading their errors and everything else throughout Catholic France, what happened? Our Lady came down from heaven and instituted the rosary, giving it to St. Dominic, and told him that if he were to pray it and to tell the people to pray it, that the heresy would be destroyed. And soon enough, that is exactly what happened. And several times also in church history, the Muslims, just as they are doing today, in the past, threatened to do harm to Catholics. And several times, recourse was had to the Holy Rosary, and each time, the Muslims were miraculously defeated against all human odds. You, of course, know the story of the Battle of Lepanto. That is why we have the Feast of the Holy Rosary, to commemorate the Catholic victory over the Muslims on that day. It was in the time of Pope Pius V, and the Muslims were trying to overtake all of Catholic Europe. Well, the situation was so desperate that the Pope ordered an army of Catholics to come together and fight the Muslims. And he told them all to recite the rosary for the army. And all the churches in Europe were commanded to have the 40 hours devotion with public processions and recitation of the rosary. And before the battle, as the soldiers were sailing over to the place of the battle, all of the soldiers, all 65,000 of them, these sailors, were reciting their rosaries over and over again for three consecutive hours until they reached the place of battle and the fighting began. And in the end, the Catholics were victorious. They lost only 50 galleys and only 13,000 of their men, while the Muslims lost, out of the 250 ships that they had, 210 were destroyed and 25,000 of their men were killed in battle. The Catholics were victorious because of the rosary. Then the other event, it took place in Poland under the great Catholic King Sobieski. It's a very famous piece of history. The Muslims were once more causing chaos and were marching towards Austria to overtake it with 300,000 men, so that the Emperor Leopold, the Emperor of Austria, he was forced to ask the Poles for help. And Sobieski came to his assistance. They marched, it says, behind Our Lady's banner, and after asking her assistance, they met the Turks in a terrible battle, and the Catholics once more came out victorious against all odds. Now, just as Our Lady watched over all the interests of her divine Son in his life on earth, so she looks over the interests of the Church, for the Church is the mystical body of Christ. It is the continuation of Christ's presence here on earth. The Church, just as Christ, teaches what is necessary for salvation and gets souls into heaven. And Our Lady looks out for her interests. So on this day, the feast, the solemnity of the Holy Rosary, we must have confidence in Our Lady. As we see our relatives being dragged away from the true faith, and so many souls as well, and we see that we're left to these small churches and all of the rest of it, have confidence that Our Lady will once more, through her rosary, help us to be victorious. Pope Leo X said that the rosary was instituted for this purpose, to oppose pernicious heresiarchs and heresies. So if we hold up our rosary beads, that is our weapon against the enemies of the Church, and if we march into battle against them, rosary in hand, then sooner or later, Our Lady, who conquers every heresy, as the liturgy tells us, will once more put down this heresy, this great apostasy of Vatican II. And if we fight this battle, rosary in hand, we'll be able to say one day, along with that Polish Catholic King Sobieski after his victory, I came, I saw, but God conquered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.